She opened the green-painted door of the second-hand bookshop and smiled as an old-fashioned bell tinkled merrily. She couldn't remember the last time she'd heard such a joyous sound. For a moment, she just stood on the wooden floorboards, drinking in the silence and the wonderful aroma of second-hand books. There was nothing, absolutely nothing, that could compete with the all-enveloping feeling of warmth and comfort that came from the scent of an old bookshop. It was a kind of mental sanctuary, and Callie felt as if she had found her true home. Looking around, she saw that there were neat quotes in black cursive letters on the brief spaces of wall which weren't covered by books. Callie read a few of them to herself. "A room without books is like a body without a soul. A reader lives a thousand lives before he dies. Books are for people who wish they were somewhere else." Callie smiled, and then her eyes sought out the books again, and there were shelves and shelves of them from the floors to the ceilings. The first room was a lovely big square one, looking out onto the street. A till was tucked away on a corner table, and that too was covered in books. There was also a pair of ornate library steps on either side of the room, so that it was possible to reach the perilously high top shelves, and a long table stood in the middle of the room, with a range of brightly coloured fiction packed upon it for the idle browser who just happened to walk in off the street and who didn't want to crane their necks or crook their heads to examine book titles. There was a narrow passageway leading off the front room, and it called to Callie to walk down it and explore. It led to a smaller room which was completely book-lined and wonderfully silent now that the low-level bustle of shoppers and traffic had been left behind. She stood looking at the shelves, taking in the travel journals and the literary memoirs which the narrow passage housed. She then walked on into the back room, in which two small squashy sofas sat. There was an elderly gentleman with a shock of white hair sitting on one, and he looked up as Callie came in, nodding absent-mindedly before returning to his book. A staircase led up from the back of the room, and each stair was loaded with books. Callie peered up it and saw a private sign at the top. She then noticed that there was an open door to the right of the room, and curiosity got the better of her, and to her delight, she discovered a tiny kitchen area with a sink and a draining board and a little worktop on which sat a few cheerful penguin mugs in orange and white, a blue kettle and a sea-green Fortnum & Mason tin of biscuits. Everything was so bright and colourful. There was something to delight the eye wherever it rested, she thought with a smile, as she recognised the delicious aroma of Earl Grey tea and ginger biscuits. It was then that she heard footsteps on the stairs. "Hello there," a voice said, and Callie watched as a dark-haired gentleman wearing glasses descended. He was wearing a sky-blue shirt, which was open at the neck, a tweed jacket, a pair of dark jeans, and he had a slightly quizzical expression on his face, as if he was surprised to see a customer in his shop. "Can I help you with anything?" he asked, as he approached her. "Oh, no, thank you," Callie said. "Were you after a cup of tea, perhaps?" he asked, motioning towards the kettle. Callie's face flushed as she realised she was practically inside the kitchen. "Sorry," she said. "I'm very nosy, I'm afraid."
"It's no trouble," he said.
"No, really, I'm just browsing."
He nodded, the quizzical expression still in residence on his face. "Grandpa, didn't you see the nice lady in the shop?"
"I did," he said.
"And did you not think to offer her a cup of tea?"
"She seemed to be getting on with things herself," he said, not looking up from his book.
The younger man turned back to Callie.
"You'll have to excuse Grandpa Joe," he said. "Once he's got his nose in a book, well, you couldn't shift him if his feet were on fire."
Callie smiled, and she couldn't help noticing the intense look in the brown eyes behind the grandson's glasses. They held not quite a sadness exactly, but a kind of weariness, perhaps, as if he'd seen more of the world than he would have liked to.
"Well," he said at last, clapping his hands together and making her jump out of her thoughts, "I'll leave you to it."